In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text appointed for this 22nd Sunday after Holy Trinity is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 23. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. But when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant! I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Thus far the Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord speaks a parable about forgiveness. A man is forgiven much. He refuses to forgive another man a little. And in the end, this unforgiving man ends up forfeiting the forgiveness he had received and being condemned to eternal punishment. It's not that complicated. And yet even within the Holy Church, there are so many misconceptions about forgiveness that we could spend a good deal more time discussing it than one sermon will allow. First, do note that the ultimately unforgiving man really and truly was forgiven. And I don't mean some imaginary, universal, objective nullification of everybody's debt in general. I mean something very personal. He personally had knelt before the king. He personally had begged for leniency. He personally had been shown mercy far beyond what he had even asked for. What would you dare to ask of God? Paradise may be a bit much. But if you try really hard to be nice to everyone you meet. Give 20% of your income to the charities or to the church. Donate some of your time too. And in return, God offered you eternity in a world like this. You know, Texas. Some days too hot. Some days too cold. Some days too rainy. Some windstorms and some evenings when there are too many mosquitoes outside to enjoy the evening. But if he'd give you eternity in a world like this, if you'd just be a little more self-sacrificial and self-disciplined, kinder. If God offered you that, how many people would take the bargain? A lot, I imagine. Would you even have the courage to kneel down before the Maker of heaven and earth and beg for that much? Yet look at what He has actually done. He has sent His only Son to die on the cross, to earn for us, if you will, more than enough merits to pay all of the debt that anyone owes. Having been crushed by the law, we have knelt before the Lord and without bargaining simply begged for forgiveness. And on account of Christ's sacrifice, that forgiveness and life and salvation have been given to us. Not just an eternal, reasonably good life, like we know here, but a perfect eternal pleasures at the right hand of God, forever life in heaven. In fact, God knew Adam and Eve would cut their losses and accept eternal life in their now fallen state, in this now fallen world, by partaking of the tree of life. He cast them out of the Garden of Eden, not only as punishment, but to prevent them from settling. God wants better for them and for us than that. And though the way to life everlasting leads through the grave, it is the mercy of God that will not let you settle for less. But we believe. We are baptized and absolved, and most of us are communed in all of the ways the grace of God for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life have been given to us. It is ours. This is so important. Because not a few people have taken this parable and the related petition in the Lord's Prayer to mean, I have got to forgive or God won't forgive me, or worse yet, I earn God's forgiveness by being forgiving. But you've all got your feelings hurt at one time or another. You know you ought to forgive, but you still feel angry and resentful. And you could fake it all day long, but the truth is, the anger and resentment are still there, and you cannot hide it from God. So if eternal life is yours on the condition that you be perfectly forgiving, well, then you're in trouble. We all are. But that's not how it is. Look at the parable. God forgives us first. He forgives us not just of a thing or two, not just a little bit, not even just mostly, but totally, completely, everything for the sake of the death of Jesus Christ our Lord upon the cross. And now we are entrusted with forgiving others. So what exactly does that mean, to forgive others? Many a Christian gets this wrong too. You've heard people say, forgive and forget. Scripture nowhere says forgetting is a requirement before it's genuine forgiving. Even when it says of God, I will remember their sin no more, it doesn't mean that God has this one little area where His omniscience lapses. There's something that God actually no longer recalls. When it says, I will remember their sin no more, it means I will no longer remember it actionably. Some of you have been wounded so deeply that the scars will never completely fade, whether in body or in soul. And so you are tempted to live in the fear that you are not really forgiven because you still remember the pain or the wrong. Or another version of this error is to believe your goal is to achieve a psychological state in which you no longer view the past wrong as painful. I'm coming up on a 1-year anniversary. Do y'all know that? 1 year ago, Mr. Coordinated fell off a ladder. Broke my wrist. And I will never forget how much that hurt. And some sins that are committed against us are like that too. The pain is unforgettable. Now, don't pick at it. Don't intentionally focus on it. Don't meditate on the wrongs that have been done to you day and night. But don't think you have to forget the pain or imagine that it wasn't painful before your forgiveness of the wrong qualifies for authenticity. Now look at what the unforgiving man did. He grabbed his fellow servant by the throat and he demanded payment. In this parable anyway, those are the two markers of unforgiveness. The inflicting of harm and the demand for repayment. As we forgive, these are the two things we are to let go of. First, the desire to retaliate, to do harm. In fact, your small catechism takes it beyond just the passive not doing harm to the active gladly do good to those who have sinned against us. But the other thing we are to let go of is any expectation of repayment. Now, I'm not saying that if I back into your car out in the church parking lot, that your acceptance of my apology means I expect to be off the hook for fixing the damages. Though if a person honestly could not pay, the grace God has shown us in Christ Jesus might well lead us to be gracious to another person in that way too. It's been more than a year. I was driving to church one Sunday morning, and a young Hispanic lady, apparently not paying attention, rear-ended my truck while I was parked, while I was stopped at a stoplight. Hispanics, often Roman Catholics. And she rear-ends the truck, and the next thing she sees is some guy dressed like a priest getting out of the truck. I cannot describe the horror on her face as you. Nor the relief that she felt when I went to her and said, "Look, I don't need a new bumper. I took it to my mechanic. He bent it sort of straight. $80, and I don't report this to insurance or anything else." Sometimes forgiveness means being gracious to a person when you could take them for more too. But the real point is letting go of a "what are you going to do to make this up to me" sort of attitude. Forgiveness lets go of thoughts of indebtedness. This is what our Lord has done for us. The punishment we deserve on account of our sins has been lifted off of our shoulders and, frankly, placed onto the shoulders of Christ. He bore your punishment on the cross. The just and righteous wrath of God has been borne for you by Christ, and there is nothing further that you must suffer in order to finish paying for your sins. Further, there is nothing left for you to pay. And I do mean nothing. There isn't a good work you can do to make up for your sins and failings. It's all been made up for by Christ already. Dear ones in Christ, believe this. Don't focus on the offenses that have been given to you. Focus on the greatness of Christ's sacrificial mercies in forgiving you all your offenses against God. Believe in the depth of your guilt. If you don't feel it, ponder afresh the Ten Commandments and their meanings. Or as Luther advises, stick your hand in your shirt and see if you still have flesh and blood. Look around and see if you're still in a sinful world. Ponder the truth of the devil and his lies and manifold temptations, and how often this unholy trinity of the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh have caused you to sin. Ponder all of that. Understand that hell is the just punishment of even the slightest imperfection. How great is your guilt? And then ponder that your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with His holy, innocent blood and His bitter sufferings and death, paid for every last bit of that. And not only yours, but the sin of the whole world. St. John the Baptist cries out, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Little statement, huge meaning. Indeed, your guilt is great, but how much greater is your forgiveness? You really are forgiven everything. Recognizing this, be grateful. This is where the man in our Lord's parable fell so damnably. He had been given a king's gift, but it left him an unchanged, unconverted man. Be not like unto him. Be not like many who know their sin, but they make excuses, and so cheapen the value of what Christ did for them on the cross. Be not like unto those who know the greatness of Christ's sacrifice, yet really always seem to have better things to do on Sunday morning than to receive His saving gifts afresh. Guilt, grace, gratitude. Know your guilt. Know God's grace. And live in gratitude. Forgive one another. Do no harm to one another. Do good to one another. Do not think in terms of expecting them to make it up to you. The hurt hurts, but forgive as you have been forgiven. For it is as you forgive others that you give clear testimony to what you yourselves have received from your heavenly Father forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation on account of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.